1 2 1 2 mic check. I want one.
Sabina don't want to sit down again.
You good, Bo? Or you want to? Oh, I'm over here talking to the mic like.
You good, babe? You good, boo boo? Okay, a little warm up chat. Freddie, you had brought up that sample or that vinyl thing on TikTok. And it got me thinking about some of my favorite music TikTok folks, and I'm not going to be able to say them off the top of my head, but also got me thinking of some of my least favorite TikTok accounts. And I think my least favorite ones are the ones that are like, here's 20 songs that you would love that you don't know yet. I don't know. At this point, I think it's just overplayed. So when I hear that, I'm like, swipe, swipe, swipe. Mm.
Nah, it's the DJs that say, yo, remember these songs from the 90s? Remember these songs from the 2000s? And they play like five joints. Which club would you go to?
All the ones with like the kids reacting to the song, like if they know them or not, and they don't know any song. I'm like, how y'all not know these fucking songs?
I know. Yeah, like, I'd be feeling so bad for them kids. I'm like, yo, how have you gone this far in life and not heard like Usher?
Like, yeah, you're like, hey, stop making me feel old. Little jit, all right?
Nah. It has to be mandatory teaching in school. This shit's bad.
Do you have a playlist of like songs you find from TikTok or get put on from that platform?
I throw in the songs into my already playlist. I feel like all the songs that I have are like the sad piano songs. It's like, I don't even know what they're called. Yeah, off the top of my head, but I listen to them all the time. Like if I edit, I can't have words all the time. So they've been
same.
All the random piano things.
That is our old guy moment of this episode, ladies and gents. It'll actually be the first of many, but I am ready to start this episode, gents, if you guys are. It's just the fellas today. Okay, y'all seem very hype. Yaya would give me a lot more energy, to be honest.
I'm looking up sad piano.
I'm doing a titty shake, guys. Just for her.
All right. Thank you, Freddie. Thank you for stepping up to the role. All right, here we go. Yo, spin heads. Welcome back to another episode of the Next Spin Podcast. This is episode 15. And to any new listeners joining us for the first time, welcome to the Next Spin Podcast. My name is Botter, and I'll be one of your hosts this episode. You've already started, you know, you got a preview of the other voices on here, and our longtime listeners will definitely know who they are. And I'll introduce them formally here in a second. But first, let me start by knocking the dust off the wax with some house cleaning items, all right? I know it's been almost 2 years since we put out the last episode, but if you haven't listened to our previous episode, which was centered on 45s, aka the little brother of the popular 12-inch record, go ahead and give that a listen wherever you listen to podcasts. Go ahead and queue it up after this episode, all right? You know, like Spotify will autoplay the rest of a podcast series. Just go ahead and let the next episode ride. It's a good episode. We discussed the pros and cons of the smaller vinyl format, and then we took it completely left and talked about our boundaries when it comes to controversial artists and topics in music. If you have a thought or opinion you'd like to share with us about that topic or the one that we're talking about today, shoot us an email. Speaking of which, Freddie or Tony, have we gotten any emails yet? have either of y'all checked the Gmail? What's the inbox looking like?
Email's popping.
I'll take that. So we got something to read today, or are we going to save it? I'll take Tony's fake cough right now and choking as a sign that we have not checked the inbox. But anyways, look, if you got an opinion to share with us about the topics we've discussed so far, we'd love to hear from you guys, all right? Get involved before we got our promise. I'll take a look at the inbox and read them, all right? And lastly, before we get started, please, 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 please make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram at NextSpin. That's with two X's. You can see pictures. That soundbite sounds good. All right. I don't care what y'all say. You can see pictures and videos from this meetup and content related to our personal music taste. We actually, surprisingly, post more on that than we actually put out episodes. All right. It won't take you a month and a half to get content from us on that regard. But follow us on social media, specifically Instagram, if you want some more stuff from us. With all that out of the way, please allow me to introduce my fantastic crew here with me. Like I said, it's just the fellas today. We're missing our girl, Yaya, but she's here in spirit.
It's like the Four Brothers. Was that in the movie called Four Brothers? I don't know.
No, I think it was called Four Brothers.
Four Brothers, right? Yeah.
It had Mark Wahlberg.
I'm Tyrese.
Oh, I'm thinking of...
I think we're talking about two separate movies.
Woods? We're all talking...
Something Woods?
I know Andre 3000 was also in there, right?
Well, we're here.
All right. I guess I can go ahead and introduce first and foremost. As you can tell, the usual suspects, minus Yaya, of course. We got Freddie Quiet Storm Douglas, a.k.a. your grandmama's favorite cook.
Wait, why grandma?
Because, all right, so here's my thought process. And this was not a good good example of it. You normally, I mean, whenever we have the meetup at your, here at y'all house, you get the spread. I mean, the spread is immaculate. You bust out the chef skills. True, and I'm always like, damn, the only other person that cooked that good is like a grandma. So thus,
okay, I'll take that.
There we go. Thank you so much. All right, a little clumsy, but we're recording at the end of the night, so it's been a long one. All right, next up, spin heads. It's your boy. You know you love to hear from him, man. It's your guy, Don Stefan. But if you got a check for him, you can go ahead and call him Mr. Adrian Ross. What up, Adrian?
Hello. I'm here. I've arrived. I've made it.
What up, Don?
What's up, man?
Don's in the house. All right. And last but not least, you've already kind of heard his voice a little bit, but he's making a rare appearance behind the mic instead of the camera today. It's our silent leader, Tony Tutoss. Smiley Jig. What up, Tony? Thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, did we figure out the Brothers movie?
It's the Brothers. I was right.
Okay, that's not the movie.
I said the Brothers.
That's pretty good.
And so I said the Wood.
That's not the Brothers movie I was thinking of. Type in like, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, is that one called Three Brothers or Four Brothers?
That's what I'm thinking of.
All right, we are thinking, that is not even, that movie doesn't even have brothers in the title. That says The Wood, which is a little erotic, if you think about it. But anyways, and then of course, Spinheads, you know that we've got our in-studio audience with us as well. Big shout out to our solo in-studio audience to being holding it down for us. Thank you so much.
Sleep.
All right, Spinheads, as you know, every month we do a monthly theme, centered around vinyls. I'm sorry. Oh, I said vinyls. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Oh, Nick is about to.
Episode 400.
You know what? I deserve. I wanted to get like a little buzzer every time you say vinyls, but we'll suffice with this.
That sucks. Yeah,
that fits. Sorry. Every month we have a theme centered around records. It gives us a reason to bring out our records, as you know, and we always take turns picking the theme. This month's theme was Tony's, our fearless leader's turn to pick the topic. And he chose, Tony, I'm going to pass it to you. Tony, what did you choose for this month's theme?
Samples.
Okay. Now, give us a little back. Give us a little background. Why samples? I feel like we've done a lot of sample adjacent stuff. So what made you go just lean in all the way on doing samples?
I thought I could go in any direction, even though it didn't, and we went.
Yeah, yeah. 99%
soul heavy.
Soul heavy, yeah.
Mainly, I bought the Lobby Seafray album, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just make a theme where I have to bring this." So it was just kind of surrounded by that. It was selfish reasons.
I won't lie. I think the last two themes that I've chosen were just based around like, I just bought this and I really want to have a reason to play this.
I just want to play it.
I feel that. And let me ask this, because that was interesting that you brought up that you were expecting it to kind of go all over the place, even though considering our friend group and where we tend to gravitate towards. I'd say if Yaya was here, I think she probably would have brought some interesting picks. I think maybe, especially from like the Latin flair of music, I think she would have brought some very interesting records that have been sampled. But, considering it was the fellas today. It was very soul heavy.
The Wood.
Yeah, it was The Wood. Why do you think, when you think of samples in music, do you automatically go to soul music and R&B? Like, is that the first thing that kind of comes to mind?
I don't know. I think all the rock songs from back then, like especially like the 90s, they were sampling a lot of the 70s and 80s rock. I think of it all. Like even today, like we, even though we brought a lot of soul stuff, like the random Brazilian track I pulled up, it's I think it's all around. Music is all around, and it.
No, but what's the first thing that you think of when you think of samples? It would still go to rock?
I don't think I would think of a certain genre. I think of certain producers, but I don't think of a certain genre.
Well, that's a good question. Well, answer that for me then. When you think of samples, period, like samples in music, whether it be genres or producers or even just names in general, who comes to mind?
Go ahead. Say Kanye West.
I think that's fair. I wouldn't be mad at that. I think like
no, I know, but it goes back to soul.
I mean, he's like the king of sampling. You know, like yeah. When you think of sampling, you automatically think of Kanye West.
Okay. Same question to you, Tony. This is kind of, what is that, a Rorschach test? What comes to mind? If I was to hold up a sign that says samples and music, what do you gravitate toward? Is it a producer, an artist in general, a genre? Where do you go?
I mean, immediately it is Kanye West. And then you can kind of go from there of the Dillas or whatever who are, I don't know, just Kanye, I guess, has been the most impactful in my lifetime, I think, right?
So do we think of hip-hop?
I don't know. Why you said he's been the most impactful in my lifetime, but then like turned to us like, right? I mean, right? In my lifetime?
No, because I'm thinking like as far as samples, there are plenty of people who sample things. We go to K. Tronada or whoever, but the person who I was attributed to.
I don't think that no one's been as successful building his career off of like sampled music. And as popular, I think you could look towards like your Jay Dillas, your Mad Libs, and like, you know, like very respected producers in like the hip hop circle. But Kanye West, I think, has managed to like transcend out, like garnered a level of respect that those producers I just named haven't reached to, like that level of fame or I guess fame is just what I'm thinking of.
From my experience, I mean, where I came, the way that I listen to music, it was all from the producers, like trying to get to the producers, like Ninth Wonder, you know what I mean? Like nice soul samples.
See, yeah.
You know,
my mind goes towards that.
Yeah. Too. Ninth Wonder. Like you think of, for me, when I think of samples, I automatically think of Dipset for whatever reason. Cause the sample was so, they flipped it so, like intentionally, like Heatmakers intentionally went and tried to pitch up the soul sample, so it became a thing. You know what I mean? So that's where I go to immediately. Soul samples are always the first, but then my palate is expanded and gotten bigger wider over the time that we've been listening to music. So from then, so yeah, it expands out. But now my mind goes immediately to soul samples too.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet, right? Like hip hop. It's not, I think what I could find was like hip hop wasn't even the first genre per se to do sampling. Like there was some genres and artists before that weren't even hip hop adjacent. Hip hop has just made it it is so foundational to hip hop that I think they weren't the first to do it, but they did it the best.
Think about the Happy Birthday song, bro. Like the melody for Twinkle, Twinkle, Little, Mary Had a Little Lamb. All these songs, like they're all people have been sampling them in their own weird folkish ways like over time. Like it's just a thing humans do, man.
Yeah, I think when you think of samples, you automatically go to a snippet of a song. Mm-hmm. But people don't necessarily go to like melodies or even just time signatures,
right?
That all that stuff has to go through like
sequencing and all that.
Yeah. Well, like you have to basically pay to use a lot of that stuff.
Clear. So,
yeah.
I want to go to this question here that Tony actually provided for this episode that I really liked. And just coming off that TikTok topic, I think it's in the forefront of my mind, but how do you feel about the resurgence of old songs on TikTok, like that Kate Bush song we were talking about, which in turn causes new samples to be created?
I think it's good. Like we were just talking at the start of this, how these kids don't even know who Usher is or Brandy. Like we just had this situation with what's the white boy from Kentucky? Yeah, Jack Harlow, where he didn't know that. I mean, I think he knew who Brandy was. There was just confusion about the Brandy Ray J relationship.
Sure. Yeah.
But still, he didn't know the Brandy song. He didn't know the Brandy songs. Right, which is shame. But, you know, whatever. They got it right. But my point is, the younger generation doesn't know. They're not inculcated in that stuff. And the classic. Like, we're not talking about just like obscure music. Like, Brandy, dog. Like, what the, you know what I mean? Like, he should definitely know who she is. Especially if you're going to be in our culture. You know what I mean? But it's a whole nother thing. Huh?
I'm also like, he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know too many like kids who, until they hear it on TikTok or like a social platform, that's when they will dive into an artist and kind of rediscover their entire discography. Because it's like, how many kids do you think he would know like who Anita Baker is or something like that until TikTok or something goes
like you need a launch, like you need a launching point, and your launching point's got to be like where you're at. So if this young generation is on, you know, apps more like TikTok, then that is their launching point. For I think it'd be safe to say maybe you guys could relate, but for me it was LimeWire, you know, and shit like that, where I was like, when I first downloaded like J Dilla's Donuts, I was curious from LimeWire and listening to it. And I was like, man, why does all of this sound like shit I've heard my dad play?
Right.
And that was my launching point, because that's where I was at, right? Like Bear Share and LimeWire.
Right, right. Well, the only reason I harp on that one, and specifically for Jack Harlow, because he is such a person who is basically climbing a mountain, right? Well, as a white dude in a black genre, black quote unquote genre. And so you would think that he would do the work, right? To like, all right, at least the basics. I'm going to know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of homework.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the challenge you got. You know, you don't want to end up like, who's this white boy from Pennsylvania? He did a lot of college rap and he was dope, but Asher Roth. Like, this dude never took off. He should have, because this shit was fire, but he had a good production team, but I don't think he did the work, man. I don't know. That's just me. Lil Dicky, another one, but whatever.
What? Don't talk about Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky does the work. We have no Lil Dicky's shame on this podcast.
Tony, do you feel strong? Tony, do you feel strong about Lil Dicky? I didn't know this.
I didn't know you had a thing.
What? You don't watch his show?
No. I didn't even know there was a show.
Who cares about him as a rapper? He doesn't care about that.
All right, well, that's what I was getting.
You can be very critical of Lil Dicky as a rapper and his, how he took everything, how his comments were when he was confronted about things. Same way with like Post Malone, where he's like, I'm not a rapper, I'm a blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, I'm just doing this
even
to get
though
to the next bag.
You got there from rap. But Lil Dicky was like, it's the show. I can't. It's...
Well, let me ask this question, because I just dived into like songs that started blowing up from TikTok, right? And like the Kate Bush was one that you kind of led with. I know Billie Jean at some point, Michael Jackson, Billie Jean had a little resurgence. Dreams by... oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on Dreams.
Fleetwood Mac.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
Dreams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had a massive brain fart. It's been a long day. But Dreams.
Oh yeah, when he was like skateboarding.
Yeah, exactly. Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. Crystal Walters. You know, Gypsy Woman had a big comeback. And then hell, even obscure groups like that Bad Bad Not Good song making its rounds. But is that really sampling though? Because when I think sampling, I'm thinking of taking a piece of a song and repurposing it to a new song, whether you keep it, you know, very, whether it's similar or, you know, completely metamorphosized into something new. Like, to me, that is sampling. What TikTok's doing necessarily, to me, it's not sampling. You're putting the exact same song on a video.
Yes.
I think it's a resurgence. I don't think it'd be sampling.
There's a resurgence, but then you have like all those, I don't know their names, but it's all like the lo-fi people. So they all take the songs that are kind of current on hip hop or on TikTok
that are like trending. Okay.
They'll sample it. That's where I'm seeing the samples. Not necessarily just resurging, but we also don't know how much of, like, let's say the Kate Bush song, how much of an impact that has on whoever's making music right now, especially from the kids who don't know, I don't know, anything else.
You say these kids don't know shit.
Like, I kind of look at like my nephew and, you know, kids his age and even my little brother, and it's like they have such a great opportunity to get introduced to such a wide spectrum of music, because there's not a lot of work to find to get to it, right? It's like you just need a compass to find it or get pointed in the right direction. But as far as you playing it, you could, like you said, you could come across Brandy for the first time today and then go on fucking Spotify and get spun up. I think that's so cool. Like, there's not a lot of gatekeeping there for you. There's not a lot of hurdles.
So, old man moment. Here's an old man moment. How do you, what do you, like, are you tapping into, like, songs of TikTok?
The algorithm on TikTok really guides you to where you want to go. And I find a lot of music on there. But what's so funny?
I'm only laughing because it sounds like this is the four old guys find TikTok for the first time. And they're,
I'm sorry, this is my fault.
I find TikTok to be pretty inclusive. I don't think it's necessarily think just for young people.
Word.
Maybe that's me being old. Me like, no, it's for everybody.
I'm joking, but I do think there is a key element that both TikTok and today's theme about sampling do share. And I don't think it's in technicality, because I personally view sampling as a unique style of music production. And sampling in terms of TikTok is really just using existing music to score or give a soundtrack to a piece of, you know, video or content. Now, granted, you know, there's outliers where people are making original music for TikTok that might incorporate samples. But I think what ties both of them together is the music discoverability factor for the listener and the end user. You know, personally speaking, sampling has introduced me to a lot of artists, especially from older generations of music, you know, before my time. I think you're seeing a similar thing happen with TikTok, where it's reintroducing people to songs and artists of the past. Now, granted, you know, it's I have quotation marks around past, because as we're noticing, some of these songs aren't really that old. I think at the end of the day, sampling and TikTok both benefit, you know, the end user and listener by helping them discover or reintroducing something existing in new or an interesting way. Like, oh, I haven't heard this song before, or where's that sample from? Let me go check it out. It gives them a starting point to going down a rabbit hole of finding new music. So those are just my thoughts on how TikTok and today's theme overlap. But I want to go back to having some more fun with us being four old millennial guys on the mic. I want to hear, what's the most recent song that comes to mind that uses a sample from your teens that has made you feel old and crusty? Since we're leaning into, since we started this podcast out old man style, we're going to lean into it.
Maybe not crusty. It's just any of the hip hop songs from the early 2000s that they're not even like remixing them. It's just like,
Give me an example of one.
Like even I brought one of the records, the Tom Toms, but the Mariah Carey joint, and now they got the Big Dig Energy song. And I'm like, all she did was just rap over the same beat that I used to vibe to as a kid. And it's just, you know, not crusty, just like a...
It just reminds you.
It's like, damn, you know.
The sands of time continue moving.
You know? The example that you just brought up, I'm kind of like, I think that feels dated because I think of the approach of sampling it, where it's like there doesn't seem to be a lot of effort.
Yeah, there's no like creativity. Yeah,
exactly.
Not saying that maybe we're just old and we don't think it's creative, but to me, they just rapping over the same beat. They speed it up a little bit and call it a day.
I wonder if we went back to like 1985, like, and we listened to like the folks from the 60s saying like, they didn't do anything. They just put the same song from the 1960s.
Well, not to like just focus on the complaint side, but I was curious, do you have a preference to how a sample is like done or used? Like, do you prefer a certain method? Whether, like Adrian, you brought up like old Dipset's production was like the chipmunk sound where they sped it up. Like, do you have a preference on how your samples like get used?
Yeah, and so that kind of goes to like what we were talking about earlier. Like Alchemist does this, a lot of the producers do it. Like, they'll pick just really, Madlib, another one, just really kind of like obscure pieces of a song and throw it into a sample. And it's, I don't know, it seems like he's challenging himself to get clearance for like Thriller or whatever. But like, I like that. I like that personally. When I listen to a song and there's a piece to it that is, I recognize it from somewhere, but it's not like the entire song. It's not a piece that you would think to go back and like, oh, I heard that song and that piece is going
to
be sampled.
You know what I mean? Like, some you hear it and you kind of have to do some research. Yeah. Like, take Beyonce's Happy Renaissance Week.
Happy Renaissance Week, everyone.
But take Beyonce's record. You know, you got to actually do some research to see the samples that they use in each song, because some of them are like 10 seconds long, or they switch it up a little bit.
All of them are Khalees.
Right to the smoke.
All
right,
yeah.
I won't lie. Well, we are 35 minutes into recording, and I'm surprised it took that long for one mention of Beyonce or Renaissance to take place. Tony, you should be ashamed of yourself right now.
Oh, no. If the question came back to me of the what song makes you feel old, I'm like, I can't even answer that, because all I have is Beyonce references. I'm like, the Donna Summer, but I'm like, I didn't grow up to Donna Summer. But the Donna Summer reference in like Summer Renaissance was the sample that I remember the most, just because I'm have that song on replay at the moment. But
and Beyonce is a seasoned artist, so you know, she's, you know, I don't think it's fair to compare her to what the kids are doing.
I might get ate up for this one, but for the record, Beyonce's production team, she knows how to surround herself with some of the best producers.
Okay.
And I think they know how to approach, like, I think even if Beyonce has the idea of like, hey, I want to do something with this Donna Summer's album, I think she's got the resources around her that know how to make it, you know, do something unique with it, where it's not a blatant ripoff or a lazy like usage. I think she's She's, I don't know, she's sort of like, to me, like the George Lucas of music, where like she's talented on her own, but she knows how to surround herself with like a toolbox, like the finest toolbox in the music industry, whether it be producers, songwriters, and all of that. So I'm always curious, like, to try to pick out the and that's why I was looking for that production track list today. I was like, man, who did she have producer wise on this album? And when I saw No ID, it's like, damn, there is no one that wouldn't want to work for her. No ID is like a, you know, talking about samples, that guy produces some of the fine, I mean, 444, all produced by No ID, all sampled music, all really fresh, I think, takes on those samples. So it was kind of cool to see like No ID on a Beyonce album. And of course, his song is got a, I think it was a James Brown sample. I didn't check, but his song, of course, has a fucking sped up like soul sample, and it got me hyped. But I wanted to hear from Tony on this one real quick. How soon is too soon to sample a song? Like, do you think there should be a limit of years that you have to wait? Or is it just fair game as soon as something drops?
I think it's fair game if it's not like a huge song. If it's not a, I don't know, if like, why am I thinking of Nelly Hot in here? I'm like,
I like
Nelly just dropped that and it's like a huge radio hit and then you're sampling it within the next like 3 months. I'm like, that's too soon. Yeah. But if it's like some random song on that Nelly, why am I thinking of Nelly? On that Nelly album that came out.
Freddie, I hope you know this is the song you're going to be hearing tonight. This is what Tony's going to be bumping when we leave.
Oh, God, I hate that song.
I'm going well, there.
I like to think in reference to like a Drake that takes a lot of the indie songs and kind of remixes them to more of a hip-hop vibe. So Drake's really good at doing stuff like that. And those songs aren't, I mean, they might be big in a niche crowd, but I mean, he like brings Rihanna it to the masses.
Rihanna doing the Tame Impala, even though I feel like that's not a cover. Yeah. I'm like, that's just like a straight up cover.
I think the song has to stand on its own. And the fact that you brought up Drake reminded me, I think the name of his song is, I think it's Time. He's got a song on, I think Views, I believe, that samples Snow Allegra. And that song was like, when Snow Allegra hadn't dropped, she was still like, wasn't that known. She wasn't a household name that she is now. He sampled Snow Allegra. And I remember reading an article where they interviewed Snow Allegra and was like, how does it feel to be sampled by like the biggest pop artist, you know, in the world? And she was like, what he did was biggest rap, I guess, you know, pop artist rapper in the world. And she was like, I'm, you know, it's an honor. And he put me on the map for a lot of people. And I think, you know, thinking more about this question, I think even if you decide to sample something that dropped, you know, as your like peer, an artist that's your peer, or a song that's dropped in the like an immediate time frame, like 5 years, I think as long as you can make your song stand on its own, where it doesn't sound like you're riding the coattails or riding this wave. Like, for example, Nelly, I guess. I just love that you were trying to like come up with ideas of like songs that aren't that big. Yeah. And you immediately went to like one of the biggest fucking rap songs ever.
Well, think about like, you remember when Energy was on and we, you know, we did a thing reggae night that night. And you know, we were talking about rhythms, you know what I mean? And they sometimes like, I think it's a cultural thing, right? So like in hip hop, like we're gonna sample the musical arena, but with like reggae, like that's technically a sample, right? Where you jump on the beat and you're using the same beat and you're freaking it to make your own song. It's a cultural thing, like that was accepted, you know what I mean? Wildly accepted. Like if you like, oh yeah, that's that rhythm I like, and you put your sauce on it, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's dope. I love the idea of sampling. I think we should. I mean, it's creativity, you know what I mean?
I'm curious how much different the music industry would be, particularly for older acts and maybe acts that have just, you know, fallen off the limelight or you know, just kind of gone off the pasture. How much different the music industry would be if sampling wasn't allowed? You know, would you have way more talented musicians and artists, you know, because they're forced to have to do original things? Or would it be at some point like, you know, I'm just curious, like, where that would go, if it'd get more stale, or if, you know, you'd have more broke, you know, people in music or what?
I don't know. I think it would alter the sound of hip hop, because I think a lot of hip hop keeps its form because people are using previous editions of stuff and trying to just add a little bit more sauce to it. And so it shapes and it moves certain ways, but it, like you would get more, it's almost like rock music, how there's so many different subgenres of rock. You'd probably end up getting a lot of different subgenres of hip hop if the sampling wouldn't be so prominent.
Do you think Kanye West would even be a name if sampling wasn't allowed?
No.
I think he would probably have more Timbalands and more Pharrells in the world. Because I don't think they sample. I mean, I know they sample, but I don't think they're not known for sampling at all. And to me, their production is usually like very original.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if that would have forced a lot of musicians to go that route, like having to make original production.
But did that stunt them? Like for, as far as like peak of Timbaland and peak of Pharrell, where Pharrell is now is, I mean, Pharrell's influential forever. He's just Pharrell. He can't really do anything, but his, I don't know. I feel like the best production from Pharrell was we've past that point, maybe. I think sampling would still exist. I think it would shift how the industry works, just because everything, people don't sample or don't release sample things because they haven't got it cleared and it comes into a money situation. I think it would flow through places like TikTok or SoundCloud or wherever you're able to still release that music. And I think people would be more interested in that, because with sampling, you still have kind of like a nostalgic pull. Even if it's a song you haven't heard, it's a voice. It's like it's those melodies, like using those like 50s to 80s melodies the voices, whether it's like a Billie Holiday or whoever, like there's like a nostalgic pull towards it. I don't know. It's a disservice not to allow people to use it. I understand if, you know, business-wise, at some point you can't sample anymore, but
when it comes down to the melodies, it'll take like the Pharrell and Robin Thicke situation with Marvin Gaye. Like at some point, when does it become
too constraining?
Yeah. It's like, okay, it kind of sounds like it. Yeah. But you know, it's just a groove. I guess that goes back to like gatekeeping certain songs or certain melodies that are just culturally what everyone kind of knows, you know, but
it goes down to money again. I'm like, it's
what if, you know, Marvin Gaye's family, you know, but that's not gonna, like I said, well, yeah. Like I said, a whole nother deep dive.
Interesting. No, I appreciate the tidbits y'all wrote. Those are good points. And I will encourage our listeners to help us dive deeper into that as we move on from this subject to talking about records. All right. You know, that is our bread and butter here on this show. Before we talk about the records that we brought to fulfill today's theme, I was curious, what is the last record you bought? You know, whether that be when you bought yesterday, the most immediate one that comes to mind, what is the last record that you purchased?
The last one I bought, actually, weirdly enough, we kind of talked about it, Fleetwood Mac's album.
Really?
Yeah. Was that Tiger? And I was looking for a song. It wasn't Dreams. It was the other one. I think, I can't remember the name of the song, but it was the other, one of the other standouts on that album. And it was there. It was.
Oh, so you bought Rumors.
Rumors. Okay. Yes. I bought the Rumors album. So that is the last one that I bought.
So wait, were you particularly looking for Fleetwood Mac?
Sometimes I just go to these different record stores and I'll just dig. Okay. And I'm just listening to music and digging. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's a good one. All right. I wasn't expecting that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Freddie, what about you? Last record you bought?
The last one I technically bought would be Romeo Santos Formula 2, which is a bachata joint from 2014. You know about that, eh?
I did that for Yanira. So.
That was for you. What pointed you to that record?
This kind of took me back to when I was like really starting to go. What's those? We had clubs back in the day with all these different rooms.
Yeah.
You had a hip hop room, a Latin room, blah, blah, blah. So this album was super popular back then. And that's when I learned how to do the bachata and all that, you know. But,
in the Latin room.
In the Latin room. Freddie was where you at? Boy, I'm in the Latin room.
Is that the Chris Rock remix? No sex in Latin room.
Oh, okay.
Sex in the Latin room. All right, Tony, what about you? Last record you bought, it is.
I don't know if Beyonce will count. I haven't received it, so I don't know.
Okay. I see you just trying to work Beyonce in every part, and that's fine. All right, yes. You want to talk Beyonce? We can't.
Otherwise, it's like either, I can't really tell by the dates. I was just trying to pull it up. So it's either Corey Driscoll, who is the local artist.
Yeah. He released a vinyl?
He's released a few, but this last one is incredible because he had Tony Rodriguez create the album cover for The Outside, and the actual like record is a Jennifer Leo like art piece. Like I just pulled it out when Amanda was here. She's like, I would put this on the wall. It's like a legit. Oh,
you got to show me after we're done. Please. Right. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in, right? You set it up. All right, Tony, you win. Give me a few words or give me some of your thoughts on the Beyonce album. Share that with us. I mean, it came out 2 days prior to us meeting up for this meetup. I know you want to talk about Beyonce. That's why you and Freddie was texting on Friday night. I was telling Freddie, I said, I did not believe the hype y'all was giving this album on Friday. Was it Friday
Thursday
night?
Night?
Thursday night. I'm so sorry. Thursday night.
And that was just me texting.
It was just him texting himself. I was asleep.
I'm sorry, Freddie. My bad. I put you in there. My bad. My bad. Damn, you're right. That was all Tony.
I was not.
I was like, damn, it is 12:45 on a school night. This man don't got work tomorrow. Tony, share with us some words. All right. What'd you think about the album overall?
I loved it, but I loved it. I'm leaving it. I'm kind of leaving it there. Like the midnight of Thursday night when I started. Well, first I started texting Freddie. He did not respond. So I'm like, this is boring. This is not it. Then I started texting y'all and I'm like, oh no, there's too many straight people in the room. Janita's bringing up the Weeknd comparisons. I'm like, who wants to talk about the Weeknd? Beyonce is out. So then I started texting with my best friend in New York, Victor, and Giella in Atlanta. And we just kept going back and forth on a bunch of bitches and random letters. And
I love when Tony texts.
It's very gay.
When you texted the group, you're like, it's too straight in here. I'm going to go to my gays. I thought I was like just rolling. I was like, all right, I know that conversation is going to be way more lit than this.
Oh,
text
1,000%.
Right,
I'm like, if y'all would just see those messages.
Like, I'm not responding. Y'all are like,
that's funny.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
What do you think is the most standout song? Or actually, you know, what is one that you want to hear while you're out? What is one that you want to stumble into one of these bars and just hear?
All the way through. I want the DJ to disappear and just play the album. I'm like, because it's such a, it flows. There's maybe 3 songs that you could take out if you don't want like a, I guess, clubby vibe. But otherwise, you can play the album all the way through.
But what is one that you would break every rule that Nick Fresh taught us and go ask the DJ, do you mind repeating that song one more time? Run that one back. What is the one that you would yell, run that one back, DJ?
Selecta.
What is that? I mean, the last track that I was just talking about, the Donna Summer sample one. What is it? Summer Renaissance.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love that track, but I tried picking a favorite track yesterday and this morning when me and Amanda had the conversation, and I'm just going through that one. I'm like, oh no, this one, and then this one. Well, this one. I'm like, I'll get back to you because I can't at the moment.
I'm in the same boat as Tony. Like, I went to the plant store yesterday, and I had my headphones in. I was just listening to the record. I'm like, damn, I really fucking love this album. This shit is so fucking vibey.
One of my favorite tweets about the whole Beyonce album. Someone said, these fall off the bone transitions on this album are superb, or something shit like that. I thought that encapsulated my thoughts on this album very well. And I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, you can't really hone in on one, because that was my thing when I was listening, was that it felt like one continue. Because I was listening to Soul-Lection and then jumped into the album right after. And I was like, damn, it really feels like one continuous mix. Like, the transitions are so seamless, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, I like that song. But then you're like, and you check your phone, you're like, oh, shit, this is another song, you know?
It's not until, like, the ballad hits after whatever, where it's like there's, like, a clear break.
I think that was Plastic Off the Couch.
Yes.
I think that's the one.
So when that hits, that's when it breaks.
Yeah. Virgo's groove, I was telling Freddie, it makes me wish, as much as I love being a Gemini, it makes me wish I was a Virgo.
Never that. We was talking
is
about
fucking
me.
Good.
Never. I was like, whatever, whose season is running? Leo season? y'all got skipped this shit. Go sit down. Virgo season
is fucking
for the
good.
Next couple months.
And then I think my favorite example of that like transition being so seamless is on the track right before Summer Renaissance, Pure Honey. Pure Honey.
Yeah.
The honey part of it is, that could have just been his own song. But yeah, I got to admit, as someone that can't really say that he's listened to a whole Beyonce album all the way through. I know. Tony wants me out of the house. I'm sorry, listeners. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been, I think this lived up to the hype. Adrian, you want to jump in on this Beyonce talk?
I'll jump in real quick and just say.
It was a hell of a long segment.
I'm with you, brother. I too have not listened to a full Beyonce album, except for this one. I've listened to this one.
Technically,
Like y'all, not even the videos?
No, no, I watched the oh, I guess I would count. All right, actually, I take it back. I did watch the full videos.
I did.
And I did listen to Crazy in Love all the way through.
Lemonade. The subtitle.
I listened to Lemonade. But the video.
The Lion King joint.
Oh, okay. No, maybe, yeah, I listen to Lion King.
Maybe
I'm right.
Discounting myself.
Okay, right? I'm discounting myself too.
I'm discounting myself.
Yeah, so please don't come up.
Look, I got Lemonade, I got Black Panther under the belt, and I got Crazy in Love by like 100. I've listened to that song album front to back 100 times.
Black Panther.
Hey. What did I say?
Black Panther, Lion King. Oh. You know, but, it's basically the same movie.
You know, but what I was just trying to get at is I think there's something to these albums that have these like continuous butter off or like buttery transitions, mm-hmm. right?
Cause off the bone.
Yeah, ball of, yeah, meat fall off the bone transitions. Cause I think like More Life, for example, not to bring Drake into this whole thing, but just to bring Drake into this whole thing. More Life, like was it more like a playlist type of album, and that and it just felt good. Like you, I rock with it. It's not my favorite Drake joint, but I do. I found myself sticking with the album longer because it was so cohesive. You know what I mean? Also, it kind of keeps you like, especially if you listen to it from front to back. Like you as a listener are like, oh shit, here comes the next joint is gonna fall right in, and if it doesn't, you're like, nah, I don't like that. I'm gonna keep the sequence, so it keeps you in the album longer. You know what I mean? So yeah,
Beyonce creates experiences.
That's right.
This album was an experience. I love.
Unfortunately, some people didn't get the full experience, right? Some people just got the album with the horses as opposed to with Beyonce.
The Middle East, we looking at you. Wait, was it like any country in particular that like removed Beyonce from her album cover? Which is so disrespectful. You're going to remove me from my album cover?
Now get this black, voluptuous woman right off the counter.
It's too much temptation.
But keep the horse.
It's in Arabic, but somebody commented, the Saudis really took my mother off the horse. And it's just a horse.
What is that? Yo, it's bugged out.
There is a, like a...
Photoshop.
Bro, there is an indie... Stop. Stop!
I just talked back.
Can that be that? Yeah. Can that be our episode?
That's episode out. Yo, let me see, yo, send that to me. That's
okay. Now that we've gotten started on the record talk, let's go to the meat and potatoes of all of this of the reason why we're all gathered here today. And that is our record show and tell. I want to hear. You know, we all brought three records that coincide with the theme of samples, but I only want to hear about the one. So tell me the one record that you brought that you feel really nails this theme. I'm going to go to you first, Adrian.
All right. So I guess I'll stick with AT Aliens because I love that record. And there's so many different reasons why you should love that record. But so it was sampled a couple of different ways. My idea for going with this song on that record and then and explaining is because I want more people to know about Sango. All right, so the record, again, AT Aliens by Outkast. The song is not Elevators. It's, let me find it real quick. But anyways, the song that sampled Outkast was this song called, it's a Sango song called Fevereira, something like this. And it's on a song, it's on an album by Sango called Da Rosina 2. And Sango is this guy from, he's like from Milwaukee or something like that. He's a US dude, he's a black guy. And he makes all these really dope, like Brazilian. At first, he made a whole bunch of different Brazilian themed beats and stuff like that. And dude's amazing. But I don't think I feel like he just doesn't get his shine like how he should. So I'm a. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, Tony mentioned Xavier Omar, another guy under appreciated. But anyways, I wanted to talk about Jazzy Bell, which is a song off of Outkast, AT Aliens record, which was fire. And that whole album is fire, but. Jazzy Bell's good, and Sango sampled it on Fevereira, Da Rosina 2.
I'm surprised you didn't go with that song, where you played a different one when we actually
did
the spin around.
I had a couple of different options because in the game or whatever we were doing just earlier, I wanted it to be something that was a little bit easier because I had some obscure shit for here. So
fair enough. I appreciate the handicap.
Yeah, man, I got you.
And I mean, fantastic album at that, right?
Like, yeah,
AT Aliens. In the upper echelon of great hip hop albums.
100%.
Good stuff. All right, Freddie, I'm going to go. You know what? I'm not going to go to Freddie. I'm going to go to Tony. Tony, what record do you feel that nailed it?
Well, the reason I chose the theme to begin with was I think it was actually on TikTok. It was one of those people who, you know, they just tear apart a song, bring out the samples, et cetera, et cetera. And one of them was that I Wonder Kanye track where he sampled La Bisifre. I don't know how to say his name, but I'm pretty sure it's La Bisifre. But it's from the 70s. The song was called My Song. And it was used in I Wonder. But I mean, all of his records, because I went back and then listened to the rest of the things that were sampled, and there were a bunch of things that, like Eminem sampled, Jay-Z sampled, etc. That specific album was like very folksy meets, yeah, it's folksy, it's like sad, it's whatever, yeah. And then just deep diving into like his actual personal life of being this gay Nigerian kid in England, and just being unapologetic about it, and how he kind of transitioned through the 80s and 90s, ended up marrying two men at the same time, and them dying and him still being active on Twitter. I feel like he has to be like 70, 80 years old right now. But yeah, so that's my pick.
Tony forgot to mention how he wants two husbands.
So. I don't even want one.
Apparently that guy's life
flipping it off.
Very interesting. So you are, that to me is a prime example of the power of sampling and enhancing someone's music discoverability. Like prior to you coming across that video or coming, like learning that was the, you know, what Kanye West sampled, you didn't know about that artist at all or his life. Like that forced you to go into a deep dive. And I think that's like why I appreciate and still value sampling, is because, you know, just that discoverability, like always like teaching someone or learning if you want to.
Yeah. And I think we had the same conversation when it was Soundtracks Night for how music and movies and TV and how they introduce like a whole new caliber, I don't know, of music to kids, from like Euphoria soundtrack and Insecure soundtrack to going down to like, I remember watching The Notebook for the first time whenever, what was I like, maybe 12, and the song in the middle of it when they're like laying on the street and the Billie Holiday song comes on and I heard Billie Holiday's voice, it was like over for me. That's when And I couldn't even deep dive, because you didn't really have that much access online to find who Billie Holiday was and all the, obviously I found out about the movies and everything later, but you know that.
So the lesson here is you can't gatekeep or knock someone for how they find their music or an artist, man. You just never know. Like think about all these super old heads that look at you like you found Billie Holiday through The Notebook. You know, it's like, of course. I wasn't alive. I wasn't in these jazz clubs. Yeah, yeah. So I like that.
It was what, like 2003?
I mean, also you were immigrants and a lot of that probably plays a part into that. So
Yeah. I mean, I never listened to any soul or any of that growing up. Like I heard techno. Like that was, but it was like European techno. So it was like Sonic and the Better Off Alone and all those songs that you hear now is that, but just multiply that by like a million. Yeah. Like that's that, and then Bosnian songs. But we're not going to that.
I love anytime we can get Tony behind the mic. He'll be sharing great stories. I like that. Freddie, what about you, man? What's your one record that you want to highlight?
The one I'm going to pick is actually the one we did because we had a little bonus round. So this is one I actually bought for this particular topic, but I was like, oh, they're not gonna know the sample. I don't know why I didn't think you guys would know Kate Jornada.
Come on, bro.
I'm like, wait,
I think it's my guys, because just the way he sampled that particular song, like it's just so hard not to, like it was just so direct.
Yeah. So I bought Gal Costa and the album's called India, and the song I chose was, this is in
give it a valiant song. Effort. None of us are gonna be mad about it.
No.
Pantos de Luz.
Ooh, that sounds
pants of light.
Really?
That's what that means. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, hey.
I'm assuming if pantos is pantalones, de luz. Then.
I think we should run with it. Considering you said that album gets a little weird towards the like in the middle and all that.
Oh yeah, it gets a little odd.
It's probably pants of light. And considering the album cover itself.
Yeah, considering the album cover.
She got the pants of light on.
Has it? Cooters all in there.
Good stuff. All right. The record that I brought that I'll highlight in particular is the Shaft soundtrack, not done by Isaac Hayes, but the bootleg version by the Soul Man and the brothers. I'm assuming maybe it was one guy and three of his brothers. You know what? Wow, it kind of brings me back to tonight. You know, they were the Wood.
So it was Mark the Wahlberg, Tyrese.
Put in the XX next pick. Yeah.
No, it is Soul Man and the Brothers, the Shaft soundtrack put out by Pickwick Records. My interesting tidbit of the day is that Pickwick Records was a record label in it was an American record label with a British distributor, and they were notorious for putting out budget album releases of sound-alike recordings, bargain bin reissues, and repackaging. In this case, Isaac Hayes in 1971 puts out the epic and iconic Shaft soundtrack, and then Pickwick Records was like, you know what? We should put out our own version of that album and do the exact same thing. Not sampling in this case. I would make a hard case that this is not sampling as much as it's more like a cover and direct rip. But in particular, I chose this album because their version of Bumpy's Lament that's on this album has been sampled by so many people. Off the top of the head, Bumpy's Lament by Soul Man and the Brothers has been sampled by Dr. Dre for Explosive, Erykah Badu for Bag Lady, Sir, Dream of Me, and Pusha T, Santeria, Lil' Kim, Drugs, and it goes on and on and on. I think this version, you know, if you look up whosample.com, this is the only song on that album that was sampled, you know, out of everything else they could have. But if you look at the Isaac Hayes Shaft album, just about every single song on that is sampled. But I think this is a shining beacon on this rip-off album. So just some interesting tidbit for you guys there. And that is the record. So that is our record show and tell. That wraps us up for that. Let's go and close out this episode by doing what we do best, and that is recommending some new music to our listeners. All right, let's go ahead and jump into this segment, right? This last segment of the show that we're still working on a name for, but I'm going to continue calling it the Rewind Spin, even though Freddie feels differently about it. The Rewind Spin, all right? Speaking of which, Freddie, since you haven't figured out a new name for this segment and you're not a big fan of the one that I came up with, I want to hear from you. Tell me, recommend one song that you've been hype and stuck on to our listeners. Okay, what should they check out?
Beyonce.
No. I was going to say.
I feel like if you and Tony don't Beyonce, I just don't know you guys anymore.
I intentionally did not pick Beyonce because I knew you guys would.
Same.
So,
same. I was going to pick Virgo's Groove. But I was like, you know what? Tony and Freddie got it.
Thick. That was the one people, whatever.
You can still go with Thick. I'm trying to stall time for Freddie to find his song.
Well, I was trying to, because Beyonce has just been consuming my ears.
All right, so you want to switch it up.
Prior to that, I was really vibing to Steve Lacy's.
No, you can't pick that. That's literally what I pulled up.
Fine.
No, go ahead.
Pick Steve Lacy.
I will just repeat what Freddie said and just add my voice to it. It's Steve Lacy, Gemini Rights, and obviously Gemini Rights is... That's the title. I don't actually have a favorite song. I think that's...
You got to give me a song to play. I got to, I got to bring it in. A little 15-second sampler.
Mercury, Amber. Amber?
Tony, I'm listening back to this editing like, we just fucking took a song.
You pick a song and just add it in there. But Gemini Rights, like the entire album is literally before, because I knew Beyonce was coming out and I knew that would consume my life. Steve Lacy for the past like two or so weeks since the album dropped, especially when I was like doing the whole redecorating Janita's apartment, Steve Lacy's album was playing like on repeat. I didn't even know what songs they were. It was just like on repeat for hours and hours. So I would not be surprised if that's one of those songs that, or one of those albums or artists that ends up at my Spotify most listened to, because it just went on for like a good 10 hours straight every day. So it's a fantastic album. But truth gets old.
On that album, that, I mean, like Tony's saying, this shit is awesome. The song with Fushi is dope too, and she's a dope artist that people should pay attention to. Fushi, the song with Steve Lacy, I think it's called Sunshine or something like that. It's really good. Yeah.
All right, Adrian, since you got the mic, go ahead and give us your song.
Yeah. So the song is so Gwen Bunn and Buddy have a song called Long Day.
I like Buddy, man.
Yeah, Buddy's dope. And Gwen Bunn is dope. And people need to pay attention to her. And she just dropped an album called Phase. So I figured, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Because I was going to mention Phase and pick a song from that. But when I saw the Buddy drop the joint and it was fire, I was like, all right, cool. Buddy's dope. Gwen Bunn's dope. And it gives me a chance to talk about her album, Phase, which people should pay attention to. So the song is called Long Day.
All right, Spin Heads, here it is. Baby, been a long day, baby. You drive me crazy. I'm on the way. Got road rage, baby. I'll be okay when I hit your place, baby. Because that pussy crazy, that pussy crazy, and I've been waiting, anticipating. I feel like a DJ coming back from, like, you know, coming back. And ladies and gents, that was Buddy.
That was a long steamer day from Gwen Bunn and whoever the hell.
Freddie, what song has been on repeat for you? Share it with us.
This track by Domi and JD Beck featuring Anderson .Paak.
Damn, Tony, you made him go to Adoti and Andy. Man, you couldn't even give him Steve Lacy. No, I'm kidding. What is it again?
It was one of his pearls. Domi and JD Beck featuring Anderson .Paak, Take a Chance. It's like a jazzy hip hop joint. And I personally like Anderson .Paak without Bruno Mars. So this kind of brings me back to funky stuff that he does without the pop element of Bruno Mars. Come back home, you help me right where they say no one come back. No one could
ever replay you. It's not too late before you are. I want to add that, because I'm assuming this is like a B cut, like a B side type joint, right? Like, this isn't really getting a lot of spins.
Oh, nobody knows him.
I'm telling you right now, because I've got a particular Anderson .Paak. I feel like Anderson .Paak jumps on some really good, just like lesser known underground stuff. He's got a song with a rapper named Blue, and I cannot recall the name of the song right now, but. And it's like one of my favorites too, but it is like jazzy hip hop shit. And I love hearing Anderson .Paak on that because I feel like he just brings a certain soul to it. So yeah. I'm definitely excited to hear this and add it to my playlist. I'll share with you the song that I like by him. The song that I'm going to highlight, and this has just got a lot of bias behind it, so I'll just be upfront. It is by our guy Mecca the Marvelous. All right. It is a song off his new EP. It's called Naraka, which I think is the Hindu word for like hell, I think, is something like that. But it's got a cool ass cover with a scorpion. So his title song is Naraka, and the reason I'm picking him is for a few reasons, right? He provides all the music for the show, and he's my little brother. All right,
go ahead, talk about
so
it.
So I gotta put it on, right?
Hey, nepotism. Let's go.
But I bias aside, it is a fucking hard-ass song. Like, he put out a music video, and I hadn't gotten around to the music video. I go over to the house for dinner with the fam. He's like, hey, let me go and play you the album before it drops, or the EP before it drops tomorrow. So I go in his, you know, in his room in his little studio, and he presses play, and the first song is this one that I'm about to play here, Naraka. And I, like, just looked at this man like, God damn. This is fuck, like, you know, like, watching him grind and produce music and make music for so long, it's been really interesting to see his progression these last 2 years of like going to like a studio every day, like working out of a studio, really like studying, mixing and mastering. I say all that to say, bias aside, it's a good ass song. Big shout outs to Mecca for, like I said, you know, giving us all the dope music we use here on the show and putting out a solid ass rap track. So here it is. I've been in the hood for way too long. Need a bitch like Tinashe when I'm way too on. I ain't here with your blinds, boy, I'm way too gone. Telling you who you are just like it ain't you, huh? I've been quiet, nigga, too many times. Dimming my light when I'm destined to shine. I give him hell when I'm speaking my mind. I'm finna go for what's up. Tony, seeing as how you hosted us today, would you like to share any parting words with our next Spin audience before I wrap us up and do all the closing monologue?
Nope, wrap it up.
Okay. Well, spinheads, there you go. Words from our fearless leader. You know you only get like two words a month, so enjoy those. I want to go ahead and thank the rest of the next spin fellas, Don Stefan, Adrian Ross. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, man. Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah, right.
Adrian Ross, right. Freddie Douglas was on the mic. Tony Smilajic was on the mic. Our girl Yaya wasn't here, but she should be back next month because she is hosting next month's theme. And if I am to believe what we've talked about so far, it should be like 80s night.
Yeah.
So that'd be an interesting
night. She wants us to dress up,
too.
Up.
I already know the costume, or not costume. Well, you know, nah, it's basically a costume party. I already know the costume I'm bringing and wearing. So yeah, next month will be 80s night. And speaking of next month and next episode, Spinheads, we would love to hear from you guys. All right. So we invite you to join in on the conversation we just had. If you got a strong opinion or example that you want to use in support of samples and how it is, you know, used in music, man, write into nextspin@gmail.com and tell us what are some of your favorite samples or songs that have used them. And, you know, join in on the conversation. Like I said, I'll go ahead and take a look at the inbox next episode and we can actually read some emails. But besides that, we appreciate you. And that is our show today. All right. On behalf of the Next Spin crew, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll remind you once again to check out pics and videos from this meetup, as well as other content related to our record collection over on our Instagram at Next Spin. That's with two X's. And I'll ask one more favor. All right. And that is to help us grow this show by sharing this episode of a friend of or your favorite music lover and vinyl aficionado, okay? Leaving us a rating review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify would also be a big help in getting the word out to people about the podcast. Thank you in advance. Spinheads, come back next month for the next spin. But until then, take care of yourselves. Don't forget to play your records, and we'll catch you soon. Peace.